Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 45 through 48. Parable of the forest fire, stressing the reality of God's coming punishment. God is very aware that we can respond to his word with a lack of motivation and so overlook his directives and fail to obey him for blessing. Accordingly, when he wants to get his people's undivided attention so that they will act, the Lord may resort in prophetic literature to literary devices that jar people, that make them feel uncomfortable and so forth. Well, Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 45 through 48 is a parable of God's coming judgment on the southern kingdom of Judah, but it is given in such a way that God intended to jar his people into paying close attention that they respond with repentance. One of the reasons why so much of Scripture deals with the judgment of God is because God doesn't like to administer judgment. So overly he will warn and warn and warn ad infinitum, because he really doesn't like destroying and harming people. So we view this parable in its context for our insight and application. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 45 through 48. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and proclaim toward the south, not drop thy word, but proclaim toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the Negev. We'll get into what that means. And say to the forest of the Negev, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree in you and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south towards the north shall be scorched with it. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. All right. Ezekiel 20:45 begins with the verb haya, rendered come into being or become. We actually referred to this verb in our last study last week. And it indicates that the prophetic word of God came to Ezekiel in view of past extensive context of Ezekiel chapter 21 to 44. See, coming to be, God is responding to what has gone on before. In other words, what he's saying here is based upon that. So we briefly look at the past. In that context, God had responded to the arrival of Israel's elders who had visited Ezekiel's home and sat in front of him hoping to gain an answer from the Lord to their questions. They were looking for advice from the Lord. Now God had reacted to this event. He had reacted to these elders very negatively, refusing to answer them, explaining that throughout Israel's long history, beginning with the Exodus, each generation in Israel had disobeyed the Lord regardless of God's repeat efforts to bless them in accordance with his unconditional Abrahamic covenant. We read that in verses 2 through 31. We covered that in a lesson or two before. Then regardless of Israel's intent, even in captivity, still to go wayward from the Lord, God promised that through the future great tribulation period, he will direct Israel to repent, that he might fulfill his Abrahamic covenant in accordance with his great faithfulness as God. He covered that in verses 32 to 44, and that's one of the remarkable passages that really reveal our premillennial faith, because those events have not occurred specifically, very clearly. God says he's going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. He's very, very intent on that. Accordingly, deeply motivated in himself to deal with Israel's deep-seated rebellion and to fulfill his unconditional covenant given to her forefathers, the Lord gave the Ezekiel 20, verses 45 to 48 parable, obviously intending to jar his people into taking the necessary action of repentance. God directed the prophet Ezekiel to turn his face literally to the right hand, Tamana. Now, the right hand is the direction of the south. Remember that the directions in the ancient Near East are based on the assumption that when one faces east, that's how the directions are. So the word forward is east. The word behind is the word for west. The left hand is the word for north, and the right hand is the word for south. So they didn't have words north, east, south, and west. They didn't have that in the Middle East. So that's how they told their directions. So this was turn to the right hand. This would mean turn towards the direction of the south. Then emphasizing the direction again, God told Ezekiel to proclaim his message toward Darom. Darom is a poetic term for south that is used elsewhere in Scripture. It's used in other places in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel is talking about the Messianic temple that is going to be built in the Millennial Kingdom. And there are other passages in the Old Testament where it's used in a poetic sense. So it's another word. And God is emphasizing, and he's looking in the direction of the south. He has his focus on the south. And then he actually uses another word a third time. Again, with a focus on the same southerly direction, God told Ezekiel to prophesy against the forest of the Negev. Now, the Negev is the southern part of Judah that was also near Israel's border with Edom. In Ezekiel's day, apparently there was a forest there. Today, there's absolutely no forest, believe you me. I don't know if there's a single tree there. There might be a shrub here or there. But it's a wasteland, essentially. And there's hardly any water there in the Negev. That's the area where David, it was actually a wilderness area even to a degree in David's day, where David would run and he would hide from Saul. On one part of the Negev, they had a forest where David, over near the area of the Philistine territory, he would hide there at the time. But the Negev. So you notice this threefold focus. Towards in the direction of the south, then go to the south, a poetic word, and then go towards the Negev, which is the southern part of Judah. This threefold focus on the south or the southland of Judah reflects the reality that the Babylonian attackers would arrive from the north, and God would send to them in a southerly direction to devastate the entire land as far as even its southern border, even the forest of the southern part of Judah, that is the Negev. So this emphasis is on where God says, I'm looking in the direction of the south. We're talking about the south. We're talking about the negative. In other words, God says, I am absolutely committed to punishing this land all the way from the north, all the way down to the end of its border. So it's very, very severe. Today, the Negev is a wilderness, so the forest that likely existed there in Ezekiel's area has since died out. God declared that he would kindle a fire in that forest and cause it to devour every green tree and every dry tree, that its flame would not be quenched. Now, this is a figurative fire, obviously, because it's dealing with the judgment of God. And every face in the kingdom of Judah from south to north would be scorched by it. In other words, this is something that would affect every person. Even if they were going to be taken into captivity and their lives wouldn't be lost or whatnot, but it would deeply affect and create injury, at least emotional injury, if not physical injury and so forth, to every single person there. So the statement alludes to the figurative fire of God's judgment by the Babylonian invaders, and the intensity of this judgment would be noted by all onlookers. Notice verse 48, on all flesh shall see. That's even people who are watching, the Ammonites, the Moabites, people who are watching from around. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. In other words, it's going to be severe. So following his extensive complaint about Israel's prolonged history of disobedience, with poetic intensity, God clarified that he would surely, severely bring Babylon south into Judah and devastate the entire nation due to its great prolonged sin. The intensity of the description of this judgment and the utter devastation of God's punishment described in it was designed to startle Israel into having her respond by repenting of her sin. So, if the Lord repeatedly, long communicates a directive for us, like he did in Ezekiel 21 to 44, may we be motivated to respond with obedience to him, lest we suffer his breathtakingly intense discipline, verses 45 through 48. I could use a number of illustrations, but I don't feel at liberty to do so. There are so many people that I know, professing Christians, especially in years gone by, who didn't take the Word of God seriously, didn't take warnings from the Lord seriously, and boy, did they pay a price in time. And when the discipline of the Lord fell, it was absolutely breathtaking, even for the rest of us who were onlookers to that situation. I would urge anyone tonight, and I hope that no one was in this category, or maybe someone is listening on by way of the MP3 recording on the web, but if there's something that you know that the Lord is addressing in your life, you need to address it and confess it, make the adjustment, turn around, switch from it. It's extremely important that we do so. In fact, as I was preparing this message, I found myself very subjectively examining my own heart and life, and I found one little niche that I could have improved upon, so immediately I went to prayer about it before the Lord and cleared it up. But it's really important to take the Lord seriously. God is very long-suffering with us. He's very kind. He's very compassionate. But there's a limit, because he's righteous. There's a limit as to his patience. And when the hammer falls, it is severe. So what we need to do is really take him seriously and repent.